Do you know I said earlier I'm enjoying cycling?
Yeah.
No, I hated that. The first 60k I thought I was going to die. Then I kind of messed my bars up. And then I rode home grumpy the last 15k.
The spring classics are all about the bergs, whether it's the Kemmelberg at Gent-Wevelgem, the Paterberg and Koppenberg at the Tour of Flanders, and even the Forest of Arenberg at Paris-Roubaix. But have you heard of Summerberg right here in the United Kingdom, the focal point of a classic spring race that later this month celebrates the 20th anniversary of its first edition? The roads are rough and rutted, the racing furious and chaotic, and everyone who makes it to the finish has a story to tell. It's a race that requires nerves of steel. Bikes of steel can be a smart choice too, given the terrain, and luck can play a significant part too. You need to be good to win the Cycle Classic, of course you do, but you also need to avoid misfortune. Like the major cobble classics that inspired the race, it rewards perseverance, a never-say-die spirit, and a determination to just keep going forwards, because you never know what might happen next.
Oh, there's a crash.
Oh yeah, riders on the floor again.
It started life in 2005 as the Rutland Melton Cycle Classic, and then had sponsorship from the region's development agency and became the East Midlands International Cycle Classic before the Tesco supermarket took over title sponsorship. Nowadays, it's the Rutland Melton Cycle Classic, or to most people, simply the Cycle Classic, but with an I in cycle rather than a Y, which sometimes causes a bit of confusion for the pronunciation police. If Paris-Roubaix is the hell of the north, perhaps this should be the beast in the east, because it's held in the East Midlands. To be precise, it straddles two counties, Leicestershire and Rutland. The thing that sets the Cycle Classic apart is that it takes the riders off-road, onto stony, grassy, gravelly farm tracks. It's a course inspired by the Tour of Flanders, but perhaps has more in common with Trobriand-Laon in Brittany. The creator, the innovator behind the race is Colin Clues, a former UCI commissaire and lifelong cyclist, someone steeped in the history and tradition of Europe's biggest events, who wanted to create something similar here in England. Although there weren't cobbled roads crisscrossing the fields as there are in Flanders and northern France, there were rough tracks, and Colin felt he had the ingredients for a genuinely classic race. He wasn't wrong. The course has altered subtly over the years, usually starting or finishing in either Oakham or Melton Mowbray, which, importantly, is home to the world-famous pork pies, a homegrown delicacy that features lightly seasoned pork in a hot water pastry crust, with the gap between the meat and pastry filled with a delicious jelly, although I will admit that that is a point of contention for some. The pies are hand-raised, and when they're baked, they even look a little bit like cobblestones. The race can't go to Melton Mowbray this year because of a significant roadworks project outside the town, so Colin Clues and his team of organisers have had quite a job over the past couple of months rerouting the course. This year's race starts and finishes in Oakham, but Summerberg, which is a rough, unmade road west of Oakham called Bruce's Lane actually, again features prominently, and it's a great vantage point for spectators. Colin Clues is the man behind the race, and this is how he came up with the idea.
Join in first with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
I've been involved in cycling for over 50 years now. After a fairly undistinguished cycling record myself, I went into officiating. I became a UCI International Commissaire in 1991. Travelling as a commissaire, I saw many races from the inside, particularly in Belgium and France. And the thing that struck me about them was that they put races where people would see races, you know, in towns, whereas, you know, the traditional format of British races, and I know, was, you know, to stick your race on a 10-mile circuit out in the sticks somewhere. You know, we weren't taking the sport to the public and actually making it spectacular. Why was it we couldn't do something like that in Britain? And it really came to a head when I took retirement from work following the losing my first wife to breast cancer back in 2003. And I've got a lot of time on my hands, and I started riding a lot more in my local area and thinking, well, these are absolutely great roads to actually put a race on. how can we actually sort of marry that up with the concept of something that is going to be appealing and attractive to the public as well? And of course, we have two towns fairly similar in size of Oakham in Rutland and Melton just 10 miles away. How about let's put in on a race which starts in one and finishes in the other?
Our race director, Colin Clues, goes through as well in the Lewis Day car. He's the man who is directing operations on the race. So our time estimate wasn't bad. I said between 1:45 and 1:00, and it's 10:02, so exactly in the middle.
I put a little piece in the local paper, having gone to both the councils, and both councils saying, well, we've got no money, but we think it's a great idea, you know. So put a little piece in the paper, and firstly, a gentleman rang me up and said, well, I think it's a great idea. If you have any problems with the police, then let me know. Well, who are you then to be able to make that offer? Oh, well, I'm the desk sergeant in Oakham, and I'm a keen cyclist. And the next one was a phone call from a gentleman who has a large business interests in a little village called Ouston, where I'd planned to take the race anyway. And he said, I'm a big fan of cycling. If you bring the race into my village, I'll part sponsor it. From there, I got Phil Lee, who was running the recycling team at that time, to drop me down a couple of riders. And Rob Sharman and Sean Snodden came along for the day. And we ran over bits of the course, and we went into the area which we call Summerburg now. It's a public road, but it's not been resurfaced for 60 odd years. So as you can imagine, the condition of it. And I sort of very testing the water, put it to Rob and Sean, you know, how would you feel about the race coming over here? And both of them said, that's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it'd be great to put it over here. I said, so I'm thinking of putting it over here once. And I remember Rob Sharman turning straight around and saying, no, you've got to put it over here twice. You've got to go both directions over here. So hence the race came to fruition in 2005.
Well, I'd say that gap has come down further. Inside a minute, I guess, for those riders. But that's the next.
My first plans were really, I wanted to put on something that if is going to emulate anything, it was going to be something like Paris-Roubaix, okay, where sections of road were rough and we had enough rough roads anyway, tarmac roads, to actually make the sectors up. But then the idea of putting it over gravel paths such as Summerburg, and the businessman Dick Harvey in Ouston suddenly found that he'd got a track coming through his farmyard as well, which was very attractive to put into the race. The races themselves have really grown into something, you know, quite significant and unique in their own right. And Magnus Baxter, who, you know, won Paris-Roubaix some years ago, rode the race with the UK youth team some years ago. And I always remember having a chat with him afterwards and saying, well, you know, what do you think? Do we have a British Paris-Roubaix? And he said, no, you don't have a British Paris-Roubaix. He said, you've got something that is quite unique. And that in itself is something to actually celebrate. It is unique in its own right. It stands alone. And I think those teams that come back to us each year from the continent would echo that fact as well, that we have something that is just so attractive because it is so different to so many other races.
Well, the race definitely has thinned out in numbers at the business end of proceedings now, with just two more passes of Ouston to go.
That first edition was held in 2005, 20 years ago this spring, when Matt Stevens was already a veteran rider. Sorry to say that, Matt, but he was in his mid-30s and riding for Sigma Sport. He ended up on the podium, third, behind the winner Scott Gamble and a French rider, Benoit Lagourse. The race left an indelible mark on Matt, and the Sigma Sport link continues to this day because the Sportive, which is held the day before the race on the Saturday, is sponsored by the bike retailer today.
I'm just about to embark on the Sigma Sport Cycle Classic Sportive Recon Ride, but remember, I'm actually riding on the day, Saturday, the 26th of April. Put it in your diaries, it'd be great to see you there.
This is why Matt found himself riding the course a couple of weeks ago, when the memories came flooding back.
A lot of fun. pressed on a bit today. Yeah, I've had a proper day out, but that, in all seriousness, is a brilliant, brilliant ride.
I loosely remember a little bit about the course coming through, and I think they sold it even back then as a combination of, it was the British version to the Tour of Flanders. But I didn't get a chance to do any recon. Didn't really know what to expect, but knew that there was going to be some very, very narrow roads, a farmer's field, and some gravel. And I thought, we'll bring it on. This is great. I was 35 at the time, so I'd already been a pro and ridden at a pretty decent level. But this was, and ridden on cobbles a lot, but this was something quite unique. So all I remember was just bouncing around and just about keeping control of the bike, but really enjoying it. And somehow getting third place, as well as being awfully rutted. And we went down these farmers' roads. It wasn't like pure hero gravel. I hear that term around, and hero gravel is the perfect sort of gravel, isn't it? There was no hero gravel in Rutland. I can tell you that. It was more like, and there was almost bomb crater size potholes, which were a lot of fun. I remember avoiding those. Colin Clues, the organizer, wanted a bit of a quote from me. I think I said it's our classic. It's our Flanders classic. And then it's gone from there. And I was just checking through before I came to speak to you, Lionel. I've ridden it in 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I finished every occasion apart from 2006 when I got entangled with Chris Newton and ended up landing on my head and spending 2 days in bed with concussion. And I never bettered third. But it was a wonderful race and a race really like no other. And I'm so, so pleased that the race is still around 20 years later, mate.
You mentioned Colin Clues there, obviously a very well-respected figure in cycling circles, UCI commissaire, of course. So, I mean, he really knew what he was doing. Do you remember him having to sort of sell the race to people at the time? Because there wasn't really anything like it around. It's always something that sort of piques interest, I think, isn't it? Something that's different. And Rutland Melton was different because it combined the farmers' tracks, the off-road section, but it was also pretty hilly as well. It's a hilly old course. It's not to be taken lightly, is it?
No, and I think because of the different changes in surface and the fact that when you come out of the race, you think, wow, I've been riding on gravel. It was a lot of fun, and there's a lot of attrition. The thing that you only get reminded of when you ride it the following year is like, ah, there's a lot of climbs. Now, to put it into perspective, I rode Sigma, a company that I've worked for years, and all the times I rode it, I was riding for Sigma Sports back in the day. They're now sponsoring the race this year, or a retail partner, because they've got a store there. But I did a recon of 100-kilometer sportif, which is running the day before the event, and we did that, and I did just over 3,500 feet of climbing in just 100 Ks, and we didn't do all the course. It is very, very hilly. There's some proper little bergs that you go over. So there are some flatter sections, of course, but it's undulating all the time, and there's some really steep little pickups. It's like the mini bit of the Ardennes, mini bit of Flanders, and then you've got like East and West Flanders thrown in with a bit of the Ardennes, and then mixed in with some English farmers' fields. And then you've got the recipe for Rutland Melton. It has its own unique feel, and even a bit of Stellato from Strada Bianca lobbed in there as well.
And probably the closest, Trobriand in Brittany. That's a
suckler. All we need is maybe like a baby goat on the podium. Maybe Colin needs to look at that.
Well, I was going to ask, did you get a pork pie at the finish?
I didn't. But there was a market, there was a farmer's market there. And I know a couple of that did actually get pork pies. I had a very, I won't go into it, but just to put pork pies into perspective, obviously big in the area, but back in 1987, I went up to Lincoln to ride the Junior Lincoln Grand Prix. And I had a pork pie for dinner at a friend's house. And I didn't ride. So I've got an aversion to pork pies in or around bike races, Lionel.
I think a pork pie is the perfect recovery food, to be honest. It's got everything.
Pretty much, well, nearly all of the food groups covered, or at least half.
What was the recon ride like the other day?
It was really good. It was very quiet. It was a lot of fun, but I was riding with Dan from Sigma, and I had to get away at a certain time because I was going to Belgium that night. So we rode it at just on under 30 Ks an hour on gravel bikes. I was riding 40 mil tyres, Lionel, which were great on the gravelly bits, but they weren't so sprightly on the uphill sectors. So I was absolutely nailed, but it was brilliant. So we rode at a pretty hard speed for my level of fitness. We did attempt to go down one of the private roads, which will be open for the race and also for the Sportif. But we faced a locked gate, and just in front of this gate was an enormous cattle grid. So as we turned around, and I was talking to Dan about the fact that I think this is going to be open, maybe we shouldn't jump the gate, it's a private road. And I was still on my bike looking him in the eye, and then my front wheel just started to disappear down this cattle grid. And then it got to a certain point and my body weight tipped and I was still clipped in, and I actually went into the cattle grid as well. My entire left leg was inside, half the bike was inside, and I was trapped. And then the local farmer turned up and told us to get off his land in no uncertain terms. So it was punctuated by a little bit of farce and a minor injury to my left elbow. But needless to say, always hit cattle grids, folks, if you're listening at a right angle.
Absolutely. Very, very good. Very good advice. It's the 20th anniversary this year. Not the 20th race quite, because a couple were cancelled because of COVID. And then last year there was basically flooding and a bit of a landslide. So the defending champion, American rider Luke Lamperti, is now riding for Soudal Quickstep. And this week he's completed the Brugge de Panne race, E3 Saxo Classic. He started but didn't finish Gent-Wevelgem. And he was second in the Coxsider Classic as well. I mean, you can't really give the race more bona fide sort of classic credentials than that, really, as a sort of, what would it be, a sort of an apprenticeship for the European classics.
Yeah, even the first year I rode it, we had several foreign teams because it was a UCI race. Back then, I think it might have been a 1.5, which is now 1.2. So we had continental teams come over, and it's always been an international race. The fact that year on year we've had development teams come over, Conti teams come over and race it, just shows that it's become very, very popular, and that it's a race now with a real unique heritage of its own. And all credit for Colin to sticking with this event. I mean, we were talking, and I think it's important to say before we came to record this section, we were talking about the broader landscape of bike racing and the grassroots level and how important organisers are to getting these events off the ground. So a big chapeau to Colin and also the other sponsors that have helped support him. But it isn't easy, especially when nobody had it easy through COVID, but then losing the event through the flood. I'm so happy it's back. Part of me wishes I could still ride it, but I think I am going to do the Sportif. So come along if you can. There's still a few tickets available for that. I remember the feeling of riding it. There's a particular section that does a little loop around this weird warehouse. We do a couple of laps totally on gravel. At high speed, and it reminded me of riding in Belgium, because there was little beer stands, there was people having a barbecue, there's all of that. As the event has grown, people have just taken it upon themselves to make a day out of it. Oakham itself, it finishes in Oakham this year, doesn't it? They can have it. There's a slightly different change, and Oakham is a lovely little market town, and I know the town are going to get fully behind the event. So it's a proper mini celebration, I think, but a tough race, and continues to get a great field.
I love that. Whenever you do, say, the Tour of Flanders Sportive, there's always a feed zone in some kind of warehouse, or it would be a big lockup where they keep all the tractors or what have you, and you're in there. Yeah, and I think that connection between the countryside and the event is we take it so much for granted in Belgium, and we sort of underestimate the fact that the ingredients are here in the UK for that too, and Colin's race definitely taps into that. It's a spring classic in absolutely every sense. So thank you very much, Matt. I'm not going to be able to do the Sportive this year, but you've whetted my appetite for it. I'm going to put it down on the list for something to do for 2026.
Please do, mate. Please do. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I know these days you're almost, I don't know what particular goal you've got in sight, but I know from listening to the pod regularly that you are constantly honing your fitness. And I think that should be one of your main ambitions for 2026.
It's fallen off a cliff the last 18 months, unfortunately, Matt. I've got a lot of catching up to do, but I need a target. I need a few events in the diary. That's always been my issue. This is the first one on the 2026 event calendar.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Matt.
Hello from the Rutland Melton Cycle Classic 2016. We're here for Britain's only UCI one-day elite event. It's a brutal 179 kilometres that tests man and machine to the very limit.
The Chileocum bathing bright sunshine. 179 kilometres lie ahead of the competitors with two laps of Rutland water, 11 off-road sections and six bergs to decide the king of the mountains.
Conor Dunn won the 2016 edition of the race riding for JLT Condor. These days, he's a presenter on Global Cycling Network.
It's really funny, actually, because I didn't think I finished the first one. I thought I didn't finish. It's my memories of the first edition when I took part. I just punctured so many times, had so much bad luck. And I actually thought that my team car had left me on the side of the road because I just ran out of wheels. So I must have got to the finish somehow if I finished 50th. It was such a cool race, still is one of my favourite races I've ever done. Pure chaos, like absolute chaos.
What was it like kind of on the start line? I mean, did you know much about the course before you started? Had you had a chance to go and recon sections, or was it just kind of like, you know, the British domestic racing of you turn up, you change in the car park or the leisure centre, or I think it was a sort of village hall when the year I covered it, there was where everyone was changing and you've got that smell of, you know, the deep heat embrocation in the air and the nerves and the queue for the toilets and the just last minute fueling and a real sense that there was a kind of a local feel to a race that then took on this incredible kind of stature once everyone got out into the wild.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually quite lucky because I think I did that first. The first time I did it was with Ampost. We had a bit of a camper, so I was in relative luxury, feeling like we were coming across from Belgium to take on this classic in the UK. But yeah, you do get that feel to it. It's like a really special occasion in the town, and you get like the rolling road closures. You get the sense of a really big race, and the crowds come out for it. And like I said, the way the route is organised, it does make it very easy for spectators to get onto the route and see loads of it pass through, which I think is a really strong point. So you have this like bit in the middle where it kind of crisscrosses quite a lot. And when you're racing through there, it's like there's a lot of crowds, and you really do get a sense that it feels like you're in quite a big pro race. And it's just a real classics feel because these sectors, they're so rough. They're like really, really rough, rougher than that. Actually, I did Unbound a few years ago, and it's pretty similar in terms of some of the stretches.
Really tough, some tight turns. There's Conor Dunn again, getting shouted at by the mechanic.
He's doing a good ride, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and just look how slow he's going around the corners. He's getting a few slips.
nearly overshotted. Yeah, he nearly overcooked the corner there. It's quite difficult, isn't it?
Had you done like cobbled races in Belgium, either as an amateur, semi-pro, as you were coming through? Could you sort of compare the two at that point?
Yeah, so I'd always raced a lot in Belgium. We, even when I was a junior rider, we went over to Belgium racing most weekends. So I was always used to racing on cobbles. And the Cycle Classic like emulates that, but obviously you don't have Belgium cobbles in the UK, so it's like their kind of version of that are these like gravel farm tracks. It would probably be called a gravel race these days, but it was well designed because they were small in number and you have these sectors, so they're achievable on a road bike, but they're still a challenge to ride. As a racer, I loved having that kind of different feel to it. It spiced the race up from the get go. There wasn't that kind of formulaic breakaway goes, someone's going to chase it down, there's probably going to be a sprint, or maybe like someone will get lucky in a break. It was like you didn't know what was going to happen. crashes everywhere, like punctures everywhere. It was like the wacky races. And that's what I felt Cycle Classic was. That's why I loved it.
Into the dip. You can see how rough this section is. Really, really, really tough.
He knows now he is on borrowed time, but he's clinging to the front and basking in the kudos now. Then we come back to look at Thompson bouncing and rattling his way across this rough section.
You can see there's some big holes, but he's also in a good situation where he's on his own.
So what about the year you won? I mean, did you come to the start line, well, assuming that you thought you hadn't finished it the previous year and you'd had a lot of bad luck, a lot of punctures, but did you come in, because it was with JLT Condor the following year, wasn't it? So a huge race for the team, really. One of the blue ribboned one day races that the UK had at the time, still has now. Did you turn up thinking this could be my day?
Interesting, actually, because I'd done it previously and had like real terrible luck. Like that first time I did it, my strategy had just been to like race hard, try and like race hard on the cob, like on the sectors, as you would in Belgium. Like you can like attack them and move up, and I was okay at doing that. So I did the same in the Cycle Classic, but because the sectors are so rough, you have to ride them in a different way. And because I'd attacked them, I basically just ended up like double puncturing all the time. So this time, I decided I wasn't going to attack the sectors at all. I literally raced to the front and then just tried to survive. So I let myself get dropped and like made sure I didn't puncture. So I'd be off the back and of each kind of front group by about like 50, 100 meters. And then I'd just ride back on. And then once you get to the end, it was see what happens.
Still undecided, but two riders just fractionally ahead. Conor Dunne now having a go. So the big Irishman, who's now based in Hertfordshire, trying to go clear, exactly what he did early in the race. Well, the two are just slightly ahead.
Oh, big crash there from one of the riders on the outside of the road.
Oh, he certainly went
and when
down.
You won it, you kind of reverse engineered it. Easy on the gravel and make the difference on the tarmac.
Yeah, that's it. I just tried to survive every single sector and not have a mechanical, because especially in a race like that, all the roads, they're so small. So, like, if you have a mechanical, you're trying to chase back on through quite a large convoy. There's a lot of teams actually in the race, so the team convoy is huge. So it's really hard to get back on. So, yeah, that year I managed to have no issues, kept my powder dry until the end. And then it's like one of those very, very rare days where just everything seems to go right. Like, so like 0.001% of bike races happen like this for people like me. And I just did one attack at the end, looked around, was away in a little group, and I was like, oh, got away, and then stopped off for a bit, and then did another attack and went away on my own and went to the finish. You're like, I'm actually about to win a bike race. So that's amazing. I couldn't believe it.
On the PA system, here it comes. Conor Dunne wins the 12th edition of the Rutland Melton Cycle Classic, and that's a bit of a surprise. Here comes Griff Lewis up for second place.
And did you treat yourself to the local delicacy afterwards? Get yourself a nice big pork pie.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, 100%. I think I won a pie, actually. I think I won this massive Melton Mowbray pie.
And lastly, Conor, have you been back? Would you like to go back in some capacity, go and ride some of those sections?
I haven't actually been back since, and I always think about it. I would love to get back there and ride some of those sectors and get the feel for it again. It's just fun being part of that chaos and getting a feel for it again.
I can see the idea formulating here and now. Maybe a bit short notice for the 2025 edition, but how about making a film about a comeback and targeting next year's race?
You know what? I'd love to do that. I think I'd love to do that. Maybe I'd love to make it back there and experience the atmosphere. It's just it's a really special race, and it's amazing to see how special it is to so many people who support it and make it happen every year and go out and watch and support the race on the roadside too.
Well, that's it for this year's Cycle Classic. Once again, a race that didn't disappoint, full of drama and surprises and plenty of action right up to the finish line.
James McCallum finished third in 2012, riding for Rafa Condor. That 2012 race was arguably the most memorable edition of all, because it was held in absolutely filthy conditions, a battle for survival, everybody covered in mud, puddles up to the chain set, and a race won by the Frenchman Alexandre Blaine, riding for Endura Racing. There were only 22 finishes that day, and Blaine, something of a specialist, made races like the Cycle Classic and Trobroléon the focal points of his season. This is James McCallum and his memories of not just the 2012 race, but the other editions he took part in.
My first sort of experience of it was one of the harshest Rutland Cycle Classic experiences you could have. It was like dusty and punctures, and it was just absolute chaos, and the sheer panic as well that you've got going into those first sectors. I know the course has kind of changed now, but the old course used to do two laps of the reservoir, which were mental, and then you've got the big massive race down the hill into that first real narrow lane, and just this stress of like, I want to be in the break so I don't have to deal with, you know, 100 plus other people. It was just so overwhelming sometimes, but that panic made you make sure you were in the right place. Taking the weather into consideration as well. Oh my God, I've raced some of the dustiest versions of that, where I've been coughing up, you know, Melton Mowbray dust for weeks and picking it out my eyeballs and out my ears, to the coldest and wettest and pretty much a swimming competition on bikes the year after. So 22, I think it was almost 200 that started that day. And it was raining from the get-go. And it was actually that bad that the course was getting tweaked as we were riding it. I still remember to this day, Alexander Blaine had attacked through the feed zone. And it was myself and Yanto Barker and Pete Williams. And we all kind of agreed that, listen, we'll just let him dangle and we'll kind of just hold him, because we expected it to be like there was still like 30 or 40k to go. And then the moto came up alongside us and went, right guys, 20k to go. And we were like, what? Tom Southam was actually in the car that day. It was one of his first gigs as a DS for Rafa. And I just remember Tom, we used to have like an ongoing joke where we'd call each other particular pet names. And Tom rode alongside me in the car, and he was yelling out the window, come on, Jimmy, you're such and such. And we just kind of laughed at each other just to keep ourselves going, because it was that cold. You know, every time you went through the Sommerburg, I went through Austin, there was just more and more bodies just standing at the side of the road. But it was also, that day actually fell into my lap as well, because I was used to riding in that kind of weather. I kind of thrive in that sort of really kind of minging days. And that actually changed my career quite a lot. And it was one of those things where I had quite a good career at the start. When I turned pro in 2007, had a few injuries and a few team issues with teams kind of going under and stuff like that. And then when John got me on Rafa, that kind of gave me my second lease of life. And getting the opportunity in that event, the year before we'd won it with Zach Dempster. And I suffered a few punctures, but done the job to get Zach and Briggsy into the break. And then the next year, it just kind of fell on my shoulders, and I just grabbed the opportunity with both hands. But it was absolutely epic. I actually remember it being that cold that it was actually warmer to take off your rain cape and your gloves. And I actually remember I was kind of playing mind games with folks. I went to the front of the group, sat up, undone my cape and took off my gloves and threw them away. And I remember Simon Richardson's face when I did that. He was like, what are you doing? I'm like, time to start racing, Si. The one standout memory of that race is that we got through everything. It was Yanto punctured going through Sommerburg, and it was myself and Jamie. We're riding in, there's about 5 or 6k to go. Made it through all the sectors, and my front tyre started to go down. And Jamie's like, oh, dude, that sucks. So stopped, got the wheel changed. Yanto overtook me, and then I was like red ragged to a bull, because I was like, there's no chance I'm not getting something out of this after the day it's been. Got the wheel change, got back on, went straight past Yanto, and I remember coming down the hill. And honestly, we got to the finishing line, and I could almost like lick Jamie's back at the finishing line. So I was so close to being like second, which would have been huge. You know, it's like we really wanted to catch Alex, but we run out of road. But just be able to do that and finish it off was, for me, on a day which was like typically Scottish, it was pretty cool. My rule of thumb for the race after the first year I was on the podium was, you need to kind of get in the break. on the brake always goes at this point, and it almost always happened on the reservoir on like the second loop, the really steep drag in a big crosswind section. And I remember the brake being Shane Archibald, Tom Scully, myself, I think Marcin Biablocki was in there. I feel like there was a guy from Cult racing in there, and I feel like I want to say it was Mads Pedersen when he was like 18, but I can't remember. That, again, that was a very different day. That was a warm, warm, dusty day. And one of my memories, one of my biggest memories that I take away from Rutland was that I remember the year before when Zach won. Came out the summer, we were going to have a puncture in my front wheel, and I was just going to get a wheel at the end of the sector, and I ended up in the cars, and I was riding down the Summerberg with one hand on the brake, one hand over my mouth because I couldn't breathe because there was that much dust, and I was on the back of the Motorpoint car that Phil was driving, and I could just hear it bottoming out, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. The car's just, you know, it's tank slapping on the rough surface, and I'm thinking, I could actually maybe die right now, and nobody would even know that I'm in here because it was that much dust. Anyway, fortunately didn't die, got through the sector, but the wheel, the descent off the Summerberg on the other side, the wheel was absolutely toasted.
Come on, boys, hang in there.
The way in which Collins managed to kind of grasp everyone's imagination with this, and he always gets a top-class field as well. There's always like some really, really big up-and-coming riders from like your county level as well coming across from either mainland Europe or from Scandinavia, and they always, you know, they always bring a really, really strong fight to the event. And I think that again, it goes back to that. It's a little bit of Belgium for a day in the UK. And I think that's something that a lot of races in the UK will never have. And they probably will never have until something drastically changes domestically. And I think also as a bike racer, they're really exciting to race because it's such a quick evolving race. It's not boring. There's always something happening. You need to have your wits about you. And you need to basically, I used to describe it as riding a criterium for 200K. You just need to be on all the time, in position, looking forward, checking where you're riding, making sure you're in the right place, looking after your teammates, all that stuff. So it really, really encapsulates and magnifies the need for it to be a really good team player and be have a really good team dynamic. And I think that the other thing I learned from that race, just don't give up. You know, you've got to, you could turn a corner or go through a field or go through a sector and the next minute and there's a bunch of 10 people. You know, or somebody who's suddenly got a minute is standing at the side of the road and then you're back in the lead. And that's just really ultimately what the race is about. It's about never giving up because there's every kind of adversity thrown at you during this event.
The Cycle Classic is critical for British domestic teams and continental teams from abroad. It's the only UK one-day race on the UCI's Europe Tour calendar. And together with the Rafa Lincoln Grand Prix, which is held in May and part of the Lloyds National Road Series, it's the pinnacle of the UK road racing season. The Lincoln Grand Prix may be the oldest one-day race in Britain, first held in 1956, and with the steep cobble climb of Michaelgate, it has its own spring classic vibe. But the Cycle Classic is the highest-ranked one-day race in the country. We first met George Radcliffe after he'd been in a long break at the Challenge Mallorca back in January. Since then, he's been up the road again at the Tour of Hellas in Greece. And his next race for the Canadian X-Speed United Continental Team is the Rutland Melton Cycle Classic. He's ridden it before, a couple of years ago, so I asked him for his thoughts on the race.
It's probably best described as organised chaos, where the anticipation of each sector is just as important as the sectors themselves, and luck plays just as much of a role as good legs do. I'll be doing it for the third time this year, having first done it as a junior, and then the elite race in 2023 as well. I remember on my first recon, thinking to myself that calling it gravel sectors was kind of a loose term because it's more just a mixture of broken up British roads, of lumps of tarmac, huge potholes, disrepaired farm tracks. But anyone who's ridden a gravel ride in the UK knows that that's sort of the norm. This year, I'll be hoping to be at the pointy end, having had good legs in the Tour of Hellas recently, and hopefully I'll be in the fight at the finish and on track for a good result. It's a race where positioning could decide the result itself, and measuring the matches that you burn is crucial. The Cycle Classic is sort of a hidden gem almost, but it's so crucial to the survival of racing in the UK, with most of the domestic teams here relying on it as their only chance of international race. The organiser Colin and his group of volunteers have done such an incredible job of keeping the race alive despite the constant demise of the UK continental seed, and continuously attract international teams to this tiny little British race. I'm really looking forward to the Cycle Classic. Hope some of you lovely listeners will be there watching and cheering us on, and giving a special shout out to my team, Exped United, and yeah, one of the Cycle Classic.
Do you know I said earlier I'm enjoying cycling?
Yeah.
No, I hated that.
This is Joe Laverick talking to a reporter after the finish of the most recent edition in 2023. And I think this sums up the madness and chaos of the Cycle Classic.
Like, honestly, the first 60k I thought I was going to die. Like, very sketch. Then it was really hard. Then I kind of messed my bars up, like in a massive hole. Then a train stopped so I could fix my bars. Then I started to feel really, really good. Then I punched on the saw gate. Nobody gave me a wheel. Some kind soul donated this in the end. And then I rode home grumpy the last 15k.
So why don't you tell us how you really feel? I mean, you know, it sounds like a pretty tough day out in the saddle.
Yeah.
But is it nice to compete and nice to be back racing on British roads?
Honestly, no.
There have been some famous names on the result sheets over the years. In 2007, Malcolm Elliott, who'd had a long top-level career in the 1980s and 1990s, winning the points competition at the Vuelta a España and finishing third at the Amstel Gold Race, won the Cycle Classic aged 45. In that same race with an 18-year-old called Alex Dowsett, and he finished sixth. A bit further down in 27th place was Mark Cavendish, who a couple of weeks earlier had won his first major pro race at Scheldeprijs in Belgium. Over the years, the Cycle Classic has added to the education of future stars such as Tom Jelte Slagter, who went on to win the Tour Down Under, or Chris Juul Jensen, one of the most respected domestiques in the peloton. Tom Skuyens rode the race, as did a teenage Mads Pedersen. More recently, Connor Swift was fourth for Madison Genesis in 2018, now riding for Ineos Grenadiers, of course, and Tom Pidcock was fifth the following year. The race is clearly a great foundation for those who have their eyes on the biggest spring classics. A women's edition was added in 2016, and for the first 5 years until 2021, the race was sponsored by one person, a cycling fan who wanted to ensure that there was a women's race at the Cycle Classic. And so the race was created thanks to the generosity and support of Peter Stanton. The reigning champion in the men's race is still Luke Lamperti, the American rider who's ridden a full classics campaign for Sudal Quickstep this spring. He won the 2023 race riding for Trinity Racing. This year's edition will be held on Sunday, April the 27th, the same day as Liège-Bastogne-Liège. But if you live within striking distance of the East Midlands, I recommend a day out watching some live cycling, especially if you can pick up a pork pie for the journey home. This has been an episode of Kilometre Zero for the Cycling Podcast by me, Lionel Burney. The producer was Hugh Owen.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.